Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chava Paja. And real quick, just off the bat, I know that I have been gone for about a month. It has been about a month hiatus with Christmas and everything going on. I figured I'd give it a little bit of a break, but it did go a little bit longer than I wanted it to. But I am back, so there will be episodes from here on out every week, just as usual. So just wanted to address that. But we have a lot of things to cover ever since I have been gone. So first off, let me go ahead and cover, let's cover a team that I usually don't like to cover until the end of the episode because it is my team. But I do want to cover it just because they are actually the hottest team in the NBA as we speak. And that is the Dallas Mavericks. As I said, they are the hottest team in the league. As of right now, they have won 10 out of their last 11 games. Right now, they have won 4 in a row. Tonight, they just beat the Raptors. In their last 21 games, their opponents have not scored, or I'm sorry, have not shot over 50%. So the Mavs, in the last month and a half, have been the number one defense in the NBA. Overall, for the season, they are the number four defense. And that is saying a lot, considering in the last couple seasons, the Mavs have pretty much been towards the bottom of the NBA defensive rankings. So that is one thing that Jason Kidd has really been doing well. Luka Doncic, he has not been shooting well, but he's still, you know, Luka Doncic, so he's getting his numbers right now. This season, he is averaging 25-9-9, considering that this is supposed to be a bad season, quote-unquote. 25-9-9 is pretty damn impressive. So that's Luka Doncic. Kristaps Porzingis, he has been doing well as well tonight. He had 18.7 rebounds. It seems like every night he's getting at least those numbers of 18 points and about 8 rebounds, something like that. Jalen Brunson, tonight was not his best night, but he has been probably the most popular Maverick here in the last month or so, with a lot of talk revolving around him. Now, the Mavericks did not extend him this last offseason, meaning that he is going to become an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. Now, that is big news because a lot of teams are looking at Jalen Brunson. Right now, it is said that the Knicks want Jalen Brunson, quote, bad, end quote. Now, it is said that Jalen Brunson is looking for around a 4-year, $20 million extension here in the summer. Now, that is a problem for the Mavericks because right now this season, Luka is just making around $8 million. But next season, he is going to be, that is when his new max contract goes into effect, which was a 5-year, $207 million deal. So that plus Kristaps, plus Tim Hardaway Jr., who's making around $19 million, then add Jalen Brunson on there if he does get that $20 million. I mean, just with Luka, Kristaps, Tim Hardaway, and Jalen, they are pretty much at full capacity when it comes to salary. So that is a problem. Now, if you ask me, I think that the Mavericks need to trade him ASAP. His value is sky high right now. A team like the Knicks would want him. The Celtics are in dire need of a point guard, especially one like Jalen, just because Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, they are not getting it done. Those two of Tatum and Brown, they need a point guard. They need a playmaker. They need someone who's going to take the pressure, not just off them when it comes to distributing, but also, you know, to take pressure off them to not have, so that Brown and Tatum don't have to do everything when it comes to the offense. Now, those are just two examples. Also, Jalen Brunson is from the New York area, so that is another reason why the Knicks would really want him. But yeah, I mean, Brunson right now, he is really hot when it comes to trade talks. Now, like I said, he's looking for a 4-year, $80 million deal. That's the minimum. Okay, so the Mavericks, they could extend him to that. But the Knicks, the Celtics, teams like that, they're going to be competitive when it comes to Jalen Brunson, and they're going to offer him more than that. I think that they're probably going to offer him around 25 mil. I don't think it'll go over that. But that's a lot of money for the Mavericks. And also remember, Jalen Brunson, he's around 5'11", 6 foot. Now, the reason I say we should trade him is because I don't think that Jalen Brunson should be our second best, third best player. Like I said, he's only 6 foot. When he plays teams that have length, he does not play well. Now, this is the NBA, so there's a lot of long guys in the league. So that means that a lot of guys are going to be able to put the clamps on Brunson, meaning that Brunson isn't going to always be great. We saw this in the last playoffs against the Clippers. He basically didn't play, but he didn't play because he was not doing well because of the length that the Clippers had. So that is the reason that I think that they should trade him. Now, it was in talks that the Mavericks were the favorites to land Miles Turner from the Pacers. While that would have been good, I don't think that that would have been a good match alongside Kristaps Porzingis. Kind of redundant. It would kind of clog the area where Kristaps Porzingis would like to operate offensively. So I don't think that was a good thing or a good deal, excuse me. So I think it was good that the Mavericks actually pulled back, especially considering Turner, he's out for the next month or so with a foot injury. And whenever it comes to bigs, foot injuries are never good. Now, another player on the Mavericks that is getting a lot of talk is Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, this is where I find a lot of controversy. A lot of Mavs fans love Jalen Brunson. I love Jalen Brunson. A lot of Mavs fans love Dorian Finney-Smith. I love Dorian Finney-Smith. I would rather keep Dorian and trade Brunson. Now, it seems like most of the Mavs fans want it the other way around. They would rather trade Dorian. But look, Dorian Finney-Smith, he's the type of player that is the most valuable type of player in the league today when it comes to 3-and-D wings. Dorian is our most versatile player. He's arguably our best defender. He's definitely our most consistent three-point shooter all season long. So why would we get rid of him? Especially when, you know, they were saying that Dorian Finney-Smith might be thrown into a trade for Miles Turner. I don't like that at all. So the Mavericks right now, like I said, they pulled back from that Turner deal. It is said that they might be in the running for a Jeremy Grant. So we'll have to keep an eye out on that. I will definitely keep you updated. But yeah, the point is that the Mavericks are doing really, really well. Their next game is against the Suns, so that is going to be a nice test for them. But yeah, the Mavs are doing great so far. Right now, they are fifth. They are fifth in the West. So fifth in the West with the first in the last month or so, they have the best defense. They have the fourth defense overall through the season. Their offense isn't great. They're actually 21st in offensive efficiency. They have a 2.8 point differential, but they're trending upwards right now. So, you know, things are looking good. So now let's move on to a team that it seems like it's inevitable for me to talk about every time I come on here. Now, that team are the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers are not doing well right now. They are currently ranked 18th overall in the whole league. They have the 18th best defense and the 24th offense. Okay, so that's not good. So Excuse me. Sorry about that. So, yeah, they are not doing good. As of right now, Frank Vogel, he's in the hot seat. It is said that Kurt Rambis is advising the Lakers. He's saying that they need to play bigger lineups. But remember, Kurt Rambis, he has a coaching record of 32-132. So I'm not sure if that's the guy that you want to be getting coaching advice from. But regardless, you know, Stanley Johnson, he made the team because of COVID. But he has become a crucial part for the team. I mean, just with his defense, with his hustle, he has really been an important player for them ever since he joined the team. Now, it is said that the Lakers are shopping. Well, I wouldn't say shopping. The Lakers are at least scouting the league to see, you know, what kind of value they could get back for Talen Horton Tucker, who is really their only real trade asset. The rest of the players on the team are old. Either that or bad contracts like Russell Westbrook. So Horton Tucker is their best asset. So if they do make a trade for him, they need to find something really worth it. But yeah, this has just been a bad season. A lot of people, their go-to when it comes to blame is immediately Russell Westbrook. While he's not really a great player anymore, he's not the Russell Westbrook. You know, yeah, he gets a lot of turnovers. He's not a good shooter. He's not a great distributor, even though he's, for the last couple seasons, been at the top of the list when it comes to assist numbers. I always call those bailout assists. It's those assists where he just drives to the basket, jumps in the air, and then he just throws the ball to someone on the three-point line. And the guy makes the basket, and that's how he gets his assist. It's not real assists like with LeBron or Luka, where it's real playmaking. But anyways, so yeah, the Lakers are not doing well right now. And like I said, ultimately, the fault of this bad season, which they are currently eighth in the NBA, or excuse me, in the West. Like I said, ranked the 18th best team in the league. That is not good. They lost tonight to the Pacers. It's just a mess. And like I've been saying, the fault ultimately goes to the Lakers front office. It goes to LeBron, it goes to Westbrook, and it goes to Anthony Davis. Now, Frank Vogel is somewhere in there, but I would not put most of the blame on him. Now, his rotations are not good. His substitutions are not good. But what are you going to do? You know, the front office they made this team. They traded a lot of assets for Russell Westbrook, like Kyle Kuzma, who has been thriving in Washington. They have no picks, so even if they decide, well, this season is a wash, they don't get anything. So LeBron is ranked 211th in defensive efficiency. I mean, it's not good. So, you know, the front office, they need to get the blame for this because they're the ones that made this team. Also, I'm going to throw LeBron in there because he definitely, at the very least, gave his approval for Russell Westbrook. I don't know what they were thinking when it came to acquiring Russell Westbrook, but I think 95% of the people, if not 99, would have told them that is not a good deal. So, but anyway, those are the two. I just wanted to talk about the hottest team and probably the most disappointing team at the very least right now. Now, like I said earlier about trades, February 10th is the trade deadline. So we are about 20 days away from that. One of the top targets is Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers. Like I said, he's out for about a month with a foot injury. like I said, the Mavs were for a while there, they were considered the favorites. Right now, there's not much talk. It seems like it has simmered down a little bit. I think Charlotte is probably the best fit for him. He's at the right time in his career to go play in Charlotte with those young guys. Obviously brings defense, something that Charlotte needs desperately. And obviously, I mean, it seems like for the past 10 years, Miles Turner has been in Indiana and he's been in trade talks. Now, obviously he hasn't been around that long, but that's what it feels like. And also, what is Indiana doing? You know, it's obviously not working with Miles Turner and Sabonis together. And it looks like Indiana's just going to trade both of them. But Miles Turner isn't a championship contender type of move. You know, he's not a guy that you get and you're like, okay, now we're contenders. Now we can get the chip. That's not Miles Turner. So I do think he's a bit overhyped. Now, he does have 1 year left in his contract, so that is something to consider as well. But yeah, like I said, I think Charlotte would probably be the best move for him. Now, staying on Indiana, Domantas Sabonis is also in trade talks right now. It looks like the most likely team as of right now to trade for him is Sacramento. Now, it looks like De'Aaron Fox may be involved. Now, if Fox is traded, now that gives Sacramento more stability at the point guard position for a guy like Haliburton and Davion Mitchell to grow. But I don't know what Indiana's doing. They have Malcolm Brogdon, who cannot be traded, by the way, because he was just extended in this last offseason, so he cannot be traded until next season. But even if they do get De'Aaron Fox, what does that do for Indiana? I mean, that's a legitimate question. What is Indiana doing? Are they rebuilding? Are they trying to get a quick fix and then maybe they can, you know, make a run in the playoffs? What are they doing? This whole thing with Sabonis and Turner has just never been a good fit. And Sabonis is a really good player. I don't know if you guys have watched him, but he is impressive. He's almost like a poor man's Jokic. He can pass the ball. He can score. He's not a good three-point shooter. He can shoot, but he's not a good one. But he's impressive. If you actually take the time to watch him on the Pacers, he's actually really good. Now, Sabonis would be really good on the Warriors. I think that if the Warriors made a deal where they sent Kuminga some picks, something like that, I think that that would be really impressive. The Warriors would be really good. But I don't think that the Warriors would do that. Although, right now with Draymond Green's injury, who knows? Maybe that's a little nudge that they needed to get a guy like this. But I will go over Draymond Green a little bit. But yeah, like I said, I don't know what Indiana's doing. How is Indiana has a lot of talent. You know, Sabonis, Turner, Brogdon, LeVert. So how is it that they're so talented and they just can't seem to get it together? And clearly, Rick Carlisle is just not doing well. Indiana right now, they're about 8 games under 500. So is Rick Carlisle really the way to go? And look, I'm a Mavs fan, so I love Rick Carlisle, but loved. In the last couple seasons, I did not like him because of the direction that the organization was going, and I didn't like his rotations and what he was doing where he wasn't playing Josh Green and guys like that. But Rick Carlisle is kind of an old school type of coach, and I don't know if he is going to be the answer for the Pacers. So I think that they need to move on from Rick Carlisle, even though it's his first season, but I think they need to get a different coach, you know, different mentality. Because also, it's well known that Rick Carlisle is kind of an asshole, okay? He does not have good relationships with players. as reported by Tim McMahon, after Rick Carlisle got let go by the Mavs, his article came out, and it was basically talking about how Carlisle doesn't get along with guys, where he would disrespect players like Salah Mejri, who was from Tunisia, who played for the Mavs, who was the center. He was really good friends with Luka because they played together in Real Madrid in Spain. And basically, Rick Carlisle would kind of talk down to Salah Mejri. He would, Salah Mejri would get a little, I don't really know the semantics to it, but basically, an example was Salah Mejri would do a play or something in the game, and he didn't do the bad play. He did the correct play, and a different player was the one that messed up. But Carlisle would basically call Salah Mejri to go back on the bench, and Mejri would say, hey, that wasn't on me. And basically Carlisle said something like, you shouldn't even be talking. You have 2 points. Okay, you played 18 minutes. You have 2 points, so sit the hell down. And basically stuff like that. And one thing, that's why Luka's relationship with Rick Carlisle was not very good, because, Luka doesn't like a coach talking like that to players. So, which is understandable. So, it's stuff like that. But like I said, he is a old school type player, and I don't think Indiana, I don't think that's what they need. So, yeah. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, next we have Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant is another top target. Obviously, he's on the Detroit Pistons. It is said that Jeremy Grant is looking for around a 4-year, $112 million extension in the offseason. And also, whatever team he goes to, he wants to be the focal point offensively. So this type of thing makes me question, what type of player is Jeremy Grant? Does he care about winning? Because remember, he was on Denver. And when he went to Detroit, obviously he was a free agent that offseason. And Detroit offered him his deal. And Denver offered him the exact same deal. And as you remember, Denver was in the Western Conference Finals. And then later that offseason is where, Jeremy Grant went to the Pistons. But that makes you question, if he could have got the same money and gone to Denver, which was a contender, why did he go to Detroit? And basically he went to Detroit because he wanted to be the man. But in being the man, you're also on the worst team in the NBA, or at least bottom three. So that makes me question, what type of player is Jeremy Grant? Now, Jeremy Grant is now averaging around 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, but that is on a bad team. So that makes me question, is Jeremy Grant just a good stats, bad team type of player, or is he actually that good of a player? So that makes me question, what can happen there. Now, there's no real favorite when it comes to Jeremy Grant. Really, there's no real team that has popped out when it comes to Jeremy Grant, but he is one of the top targets. And considering that there's not a lot of real, there's not really a big market, like I said, Turner, Grant, Sabonis, that's really the top guys. But anyways, so next we have to talk about Ben Simmons, because of course, now Ben Simmons, it is said lately, well, last he said that he is willing to sit out the rest of the season. So, and that's really the only update I got. Now, it is said, Daryl Morey, it is said that Daryl Morey keeps asking for ridiculous returns for Ben Simmons, teams are even saying that Daryl Morey has gone up in his asking price, which is really unreasonable. And, you know, this has got to start getting annoying. It already is for me and for fans, but, you know, Embiid is playing out of his mind. Okay, he just had 50 points tonight. But the Sixers, they cannot waste a Joel Embiid season, especially an amazing season like he's having this season. You know, Embiid, he has limited years. He's a big and he's been injury prone. And so when he has seasons like this, you really have to capitalize. And, you know, wasting this season because of Ben Simmons is idiotic. And, you know, we'll, if they don't trade Ben Simmons by the trade deadline, what's Joel Embiid going to say? Is he going to be happy with that? You know, like I said, his years can't be wasted. So I don't know. But yeah, then about 10 teams think that they can trade for Simmons, but then they contact Morey and Morey asks for more and more and more, and so it doesn't happen. But yeah, Morey will not trade for less than a star and picks, so it's a high ask price. And finally, how will Philly fans feel if Ben Simmons is still on the team after a trade deadline? That's what I'm saying. This is a really touchy thing where Morey has to, you know, make the right decision here. And finally, just to recap, the Hawks did trade Cam Reddish, Solomon Hill, 2025 second round pick to the Knicks, and the Knicks sent Kevin Knox and a 2022 first round pick over to Atlanta. Now, it is said that the Hawks are actually looking to trade even more. And it said that only Trae Young and Clint Capella are the only untouchables on the team. There have been talks about John Collins being traded. Now, there's no particular team out there that is considered a favorite, but it is worth mentioning. Now, the general manager, Travis Schlenk, for the Hawks, he went on the radio and he said, quote, "Maybe it wasn't such a good idea bringing everybody back," end quote. Basically, this Atlanta Hawks team is really deep and really talented. But with that said, there's limited minutes, obviously, and not everyone can play, and not everyone can play as much as they want. So that is causing some turmoil. That's wasting some guys, you could say. So trading Cam Reddish was good. Also considering, like I said, they're deep. So that means that a lot of guys need to get paid. And this coming offseason is when they start paying Trae Young a max contract. So they need to make some adjustments so that they can afford everything. So trading Cam Reddish, I think, made sense. And I would expect another trade. I don't know who. I don't think John Collins will be traded, but who knows. But yeah, I mean, the Hawks, they're second in offense overall, but they're 26th in defense. So they need to do something. If they're going to make a trade, they need to get some defensive-minded guys. I mean, they have a 114.7 defensive rating. That's awful. And their offensive rating with Trae Young on the court is 107, and off the court it's 100.9. And their defensive rating with Trae off the court is 105 compared to the 114 that I said. So, yeah. And, you know, Cam Reddish, he was going to have to get traded here in this next offseason, so it was a good deal. But we will keep an eye on that and obviously keep you informed if they make any other trades. Okay, so let's move on past trades. But first, let's hear from our sponsor, and we will be right back. Okay, and we're back. So the next thing that we have to talk about is Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant just got injured. He is out for about 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. It is said that he could return after the All-Star break, but the big question is, how does this affect the East? Now, Miami, they can take over as the one seed with this opportunity. But my real question is, well, first off, this is a big test for the Nets. You know, with Kevin Durant out, now they get to play only Kyrie Irving and Harden. Now, lucky for them, 8 of their next 10 games are on the road. So that means that Kyrie can play 8 of those games. But my question is this a blessing in disguise for Brooklyn? You know, maybe they don't want to be the number one seed. Maybe they want to drop in the standings. Now, listen, hear me out. If they drop in the standings, that means that, you know, they don't have home court advantage. Now, if they don't have home court advantage, that's a good thing. Because Kyrie Irving, that means he can play more playoff games. And obviously, you want Kyrie to play. Considering Kyrie cannot play at home in Barclays Center because of the vaccine thing, that means that he can only play road games, as you know by now, I'm sure. But like I said, if they drop in the standings, that means that Kyrie can play more games. So I know it's a little unconventional, but maybe they do want to drop in the standings so that they can have him available for more games throughout the playoffs. So that's one thing to think about. Now, like I said, Miami, they have been really good. You know, they've had a lot of injuries, but Kyle Lowry has kept them afloat. He's playing really well. He's creating a lot of shots for everyone who's available on the court, it seems. A crazy thing is that Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Kyle Lowry, they've only played 257 minutes together all season long. So that's really impressive. Now, Jimmy Butler, he came back from an injury, but he has been playing really well, especially defensively. But with Bam Adebayo coming back, it's going to be really fun to watch the Heat play. And really, Coach Spo, he really continues to impress quietly. You know, you never hear much from him, but he is continuing to coach tremendously. You know, the Heat right now, they are just playing really well and really playing really well all season long. So once they become fully healthy, they're going to be a team to reckon with. Now, speaking of injuries, Paul George is also injured. He tore a ligament in his elbow. He is still out for a few more weeks, but it is said that he is possibly out for the rest of the season. So one thing to remember is that the Clippers, they don't have a draft pick. So there's no point in tanking, and really no point in selling, because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will be healthy next season. So that's why the question is, should Paul George sit out for the rest of the season? You know, that way next season, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they come back fully healthy next season, and that's when they can really have a go at a championship. Now, Paul George could come back this season, play, and it is said that maybe Kawhi Leonard may come back once he's fully healed this season. Now, do I think that Kawhi will come back this season? No. Why? Because it's Kawhi. Kawhi does what he wants. And ever since San Antonio, we've seen that Kawhi is all about his body and he's all about being healthy, and that's all he cares about. He does not care, you know, if the team is doing well and they have a real shot at the championship, and if Kawhi comes back and they become real contenders, he doesn't care. Kawhi is going to come back when he feels comfortable with his body, with his health. So I don't think Kawhi is going to come back. So I think, you know, if this injury is anything of a concern regarding Paul George and the Clippers, I think that the Clippers should just sit him out for the rest of the season. But if it's no big deal, then they should bring him back and see how far he goes and leave the possibility open for Kawhi to come back and push the Clippers into a possible championship. So that is something to keep an eye on. Now, again, like I said, speaking of injuries, Draymond Green was injured. It is said that he is out at least 2 weeks. It is said that it is because of a soreness in his calf, but that is related to involvement of disc in his lower back. Now, the technical term is that it is his left L5-S1 disc injury recovery. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too good. So the question is, how concerned should Golden State be? Because the Warriors, they need Draymond Green badly, offensively more than anything, because they've actually shown that they're actually pretty darn good on the defensive side, even without Draymond. But offensively, they're not as good. You know, obviously Draymond is not a scorer, but he is basically their point guard. You know, he's the distributor. He's the guy that commands the offense. And so they really need Draymond Green. So like I said, that's the big concern. So the Warriors' minutes without Steph Curry in the game are going to be painful and hard to watch when it comes to the offense. They don't really have a guy who can distribute and, like I said, command the offense other than Steph and Draymond Green. And with Draymond out, and obviously Steph is going to need some sort of minutes to rest. And then, you know, when other teams see that Steph is really the guy who is commanding the offense and distributing and playmaking for everyone else, all they have to do is double team him or, you know, put as much pressure on him as possible. And that's it. You know, you basically stop everyone else on the team other than him. So Draymond is a really vital part to this team offensively, especially. Now, thankfully, Klay Thompson is back and he's been looking good. He just scored 22 points in the first half yesterday. So he's looking real good. Draymond Green, he's been amazing this season. He's been at his peak defensive self. He is pivotal to the Golden State success. So it's really going to be interesting to watch. Now, a silver lining is that while Draymond Green is out, that opens up more minutes for younger players. The Golden State Warriors can see how those players are going to, how they're going to play in the playoffs, you know, because those players need to really prepare themselves and get some minutes in here during the regular season so that they can really perform in the playoffs. So maybe Draymond Green being out may not be such a bad thing, but regardless, they need Draymond Green back. I think the Warriors should sit Draymond Green as long as they need to make sure that he's going to be at 100% during the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see how Golden State does that. Now, finally, one thing I do have to report is 2 days ago, there was a trade. It wasn't a big one, but it was a trade. It was a three-team trade where the Nuggets, they got Bryn Forbes. The Spurs got Juancho Hernan Gomez, and the Celtics got Bol Bol and PJ Dozier. Now, Bryn Forbes for the Nuggets doesn't really do anything other than shoot threes. Now, he's shooting 45%, which is great, but that's pretty much it. But the Nuggets need as much offensive power as they can get, considering all the injuries that they've had with Jamal Murray out and Michael Porter Jr., and they had PJ Dozier, but obviously they just traded him. So I think that's good for the Nuggets. Now, the Spurs, they got Juancho Hernan Gomez and a 2028 second round pick. So the Spurs, they got something out of the trade, not much. And then, like I said, Boston, they got Bol Bol and PJ Dozier. Now, this was a really puzzling move because Bol Bol, he just had foot surgery, and PJ Dozier is out with a ACL tear. So not really sure what the Celtics are doing there other than, some financial stuff, but questionable. And just a fun little fact is that this was the first trade ever between the Spurs and the Celtics. Now, considering how long these teams have been in the league, you know, the fact that they had never made a trade with each other ever is pretty interesting. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, all I have for you guys today. So yeah, it's a really interesting season, you know, really fun. We have teams that are really thriving, such as the Bulls. The Cavs have been fantastic. You know, Golden State is fun to watch. The Suns are doing well. The Grizzlies have been fantastic, with Ja Morant leading the way for them. I mean, they are just such a fun team. They are so deep. Looking at them on paper, you wouldn't think that they would be as good as they are now. But they have been really, really good to watch, really fun. So, yeah, this has been a great season. The Utah Jazz right now are not themselves. They have been losing some games here. They've lost six of their last seven. So something is wrong with the Jazz right now. But yeah, like I said, a fun season. I'm really excited to see what's going on. The All-Star break is coming up soon, here in less than a month. Obviously, like I said, the trade deadline is coming here on February 10th. So there's a lot of news that is going to be happening here within the next 20 days or so. So it's going to be really fun to cover, really fun to watch. But yeah, that's all I have for you guys today. And again, I'm sorry for the hiatus. I even got two messages on Twitter from guys asking if we were done posting and if we were done with the podcast. Absolutely not. We are still going to be posting, like I said, every week from now on. It was just, you know, the winter break and all that. But yes, we'll be posting every season. It's every season. We'll be posting every week. I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. But yeah, we'll be posting every week as usual. So no changes there. Like I said, we're working on a website, but that is going to have to be pushed back. But I will keep you guys updated on that and let you guys know when that happens. But yeah, as usual, please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything that you need to address, please send us a message on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Just send us a message and we will address it here on the next podcast. And yeah, so as usual, I am your host, Shah Babaja, and thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. You guys have a great night.